Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is January 31st, 2026. And looking at the stack of sources we have today, I honestly feel like I need to check my pulse.
That's a lot.
It is. Usually we're looking at trends that are, maybe 2, 5 years out. But today, this dispatch that arrived from the Tekken Night channel, it feels like the future just crashed right into the living room.
It really does. This isn't the usual incremental stuff. Here's a phone with a slightly better camera. This package, curated by Inspector Gemini, is heavy. It covers six distinct stories. But when you lay them all out side by side, they aren't actually six different stories. They're six chapters of the same book.
And that book is basically science fiction becoming a documentary. I mean, we are talking about everything from the
Really?
internal architecture of video game engines to the literal biological evolution of human beings.
Right.
But before we get lost in the weeds, what is the through line here? Because reading through these notes, GTA, Belay, Intel, Neuralink, it felt chaotic until I sort of stepped back.
The through line is friction, or maybe more accurately, the war against friction.
Gissim, okay.
Every single piece of news in this stack, whether it's software, hardware, or even wetware, is trying to solve the exact same problem. They're trying to reduce the gap between intention and action to absolutely zero.
Zero latency.
Zero latency in the network, zero latency in the processor, and eventually zero latency in the nervous system.
Okay, that is a heavy frame to hang this on, but I like it. So let's start with the software side of things. The digital world we're spending half our lives in. The big headline is obviously Rockstar Games.
The 800-pound gorilla.
Right. There's been a massive leak about GTA VI Online 2.0, and specifically something they're calling the Neural Cloud Engine. Now, my skepticism radar went off immediately. Neural cloud sounds like marketing bingo. Is this just fancy branding for standard servers?
That's what I thought at first, too. But when you dig into the technical docs in the source, it's actually a fundamental shift in how multiplayer networking works. Historically, you have the client, your console, and the server. You press a button, signal goes to server, server agrees you moved, signal comes back. That's physics. Light only travels so fast.
Which gives us lag, rubber banding, and that feeling that you're driving through molasses.
Exactly. But Rockstar isn't trying to beat physics, they are trying to cheat it. The Neural Cloud Engine is using an AI model to predict player movement before it even happens.
See, this is where I get a little hung up. The game engine knows I'm going to turn left before I actually turn left. That sounds dangerous.
What if I fake out the AI?
Yeah, what if I quit right at the last millisecond?
Exactly.
That is the prediction error problem. And this is where the tech gets wild. According to the leak, they're using something called probabilistic rendering.
Probabilistic rendering.
Yeah, the engine isn't just rendering one future, it's rendering the three most likely outcomes simultaneously in a kind of low fidelity muffer.
Wait, hold on. It's simulating parallel timelines. In a sense, yes, it renders the turn left, turn right, and go straight scenarios all at once.
Yeah.
The second your input registers, it just snaps to the correct timeline instantly.
So it's burning a massive amount of processing power just to cover all its bases.
Oh, so that, to you, the experience feels instantaneous.
That's brute force computing used for smoothness. It's kind of terrifying and impressive. So they're simulating the multiverse just so I don't lag when I crash my car.
Precisely. The report calls it a zero-lag life simulator. If you remove that split-second delay, the psychological effect is that you stop playing the game and you start inhabiting it. Your brain stops compensating for the delay.
Which makes the immersion total. But okay, that's just how the world handles movement. The second story in the software stack is about how the world is built. And this collaboration between OpenAI and Unreal Engine Sora 2 integration, this feels like it kills the entire concept of a level designer.
It definitely changes the job description. The news is that Sora 2 is now natively integrated into Unreal Engine 6. The headline is AI is the new architect.
So walk me through the user experience here, because previously, if I'm playing an RPG, I know that the cave I'm exploring was hand-placed by a developer, what, 3 years ago? Everyone sees the same cave.
Right, that's the theme park model, static geometry. But with this integration, the source claims developers can just set parameters, mood, lighting, texture style, and the AI generates the geometry in real time as you approach it.
So if I walk into a dungeon and you walk into the same dungeon in your game, they could be completely different layouts.
Completely different, and not just randomly generated like the old roguelikes where blocks were just shuffled around.
Yeah.
We are talking photorealistic, unique geometry generated on the fly based on the narrative context. If your character is injured, maybe the path is steeper. If you're stealthy, maybe there are more shadows. The world adapts to you.
That kills the walkthrough industry overnight. You can't go on YouTube and look up where is the secret chest, because that room, it literally didn't exist 5 minutes ago.
It creates a sense of ephemeral discovery. Once you leave that room, it might never exist again in that exact same way. Mm-hmm. It makes the digital world feel organic rather than manufactured.
So we have games that predict our movements to kill lag and worlds that build themselves as we look at them. But both of those things sound incredibly demanding.
Oh, massively.
I mean, rendering multiple timelines, generating geometry in real time. My current PC sounds like a jet engine just running a web browser sometimes.
And that brings us perfectly to the hardware. Because software dreams die without the silicon to run them.
Part two of our roadmap, the power under the hood. The report highlights Intel's 16th gen Diamond Lake processors, and they are making some bold claims here.
They have to. They've been fighting for relevance, but this looks like a genuine leap. The key spec is the move to the 2-nanometer architecture, the 20A node.
Right.
But you need to understand why this matters. It's not just about things getting smaller.
The report mentions cold power. That stood out to me. Because for the last 5 years, high performance has meant high heat.
Exactly. We hit a thermal wall. But this shift to 2-millimeter comes with a move to what they call ribbon FET architecture. Think of the old transistors like a water pipe where the valve was only on the top. It was leaky. Electrons would slip through even when it was off. And that leakage creates heat.
And heat means fans, and fans mean noise.
Right. With ribbon FET or gate all around, the valve surrounds the pipe completely. You get total control over the current. The leak implies that this architecture has, well, virtually solved the leakage problem.
So they're claiming a 40% efficiency boost, but the real seller for me is the silence. The idea that I can have an 8K gaming rig that doesn't heat my office up to 85 degrees, that's a quality of life change that matters more than frame rates.
It goes right back to our theme, friction. Heat is friction. Noise is friction. They are removing the physical penalties of high-performance computing. And speaking of removing penalties, look at what Valve is doing with the Steam Deck 3.
The handheld gambit. This is the one I'm most excited about personally. The handheld market is crowded right now, but Valve seems to be doing something really distinct with the silicon here.
They are. The report notes a collaboration with former Sony engineers to build a custom hardware-based upscaling unit directly onto the chip.
Now, we've had upscaling for a while, DLSS, FSR. Why is a dedicated hardware unit such a big deal?
Because software upscaling still takes a toll. If your GPU has to do the math to upscale the image, that's resources it can't spend on rendering the game itself.
Or it's just draining the battery.
Exactly. Yeah. By moving that to a dedicated low-power block of silicon, the GPU is free to just push raw geometry.
So you get the 120 hertz performance on that OLED screen, but the battery isn't getting chewed up doing the math.
Precisely. It decouples resolution from power consumption. It means handheld gaming isn't the compromise anymore. You aren't saying, I guess I'll play the worst version because I'm on the bus. You're playing the full fat version, just optimized at the silicon level.
It feels like we are reaching a point where the form factor doesn't dictate the experience. Desktop, handheld, right. The line is blurring.
But if you want to talk about blurring lines, we have to talk about the interface. Because having a fast chip and a smart engine is great, but you still have to physically touch the machine.
And that brings us to part three, the human interface, or as I'm calling it, the end of buttons.
The iPhone 18 Pro.
The liquid metal revolution. I have to be the skeptic again here. Apple removes buttons, people complain, then everyone copies them. But removing all buttons, volume, power, action.
It's the ultimate seamless design. The report says they're replacing everything with ultrasonic sensors and localized haptics beneath a liquid metal alloy chassis.
But don't we need the click? There's something satisfying about the mechanical confirmation of I pressed this.
That's the friction argument again. A mechanical button is a point of failure, a point of water entry, and a break in the surface. By moving to ultrasonics, the phone becomes a single, sealed, intelligent object.
And the haptics will just trick your brain into feeling the click.
Right. It will feel like a click, even if nothing actually moves. It's removing the mechanical layer between you and the data.
Yeah.
You're an operating machine. You are manipulating a surface. But if you think that's intimate.
Yeah, I know where you're going. The iPhone is just holding hands compared to this next story. This is the one that actually scared me a little.
The first bionic gamer.
So let's just lay it out. A pro esports player signs with Neuralink for the 2026 World Championships. No mouse, no keyboard. No controller.
Just a brain-to-server link?
This moves beyond cool tech into some very serious ethical gray zones.
Huh.
We're talking about competitive sports with millions of dollars in the prize pool. How is this possibly fair?
That is the debate that's just raging in the source material. Is it even a sport if you aren't moving?
Exactly. If I'm playing Counter-Strike or League of Legends, my physical reaction time matters. My hand-eye coordination matters. If this guy is just thinking, shoot, he bypasses the nerves, the muscles, the mouse click, that's milliseconds of advantage.
It's a biological advantage bought with hardware. It's essentially pay to win on a surgical level. If you can afford the implant, you process faster than the guy using his hands.
It feels like it breaks the social contract of the game. We agree to play by the same rules, within human limitations. This steps outside of those limitations.
But you could flip that argument. In Formula One, the car matters. We accept the technology as part of the sport. Is this just the evolution of the car, but the car is now inside the skull?
That is a slippery slope, my friend. Because where does it stop? If the Neuralink can execute complex macros with a single thought, is the player even really playing? Or are they just the manager of an automated system?
And that connects us right back to the very start of this. Remember the neural cloud engine from Rockstar?
Prediction engine, yeah.
Right. So imagine a near future scenario. You have a game engine that uses AI to predict what you're going to do before you do it, to save latency.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a Neuralink interface that reads your intention before your body can even act on it.
Oh, wow. I see where you were headed with this.
If the computer knows what you want and the input is instantaneous, at what point does the computer start playing the game for you?
Before I've even fully formulated the thought.
Exactly. If the prediction is perfect, the loop closes. You think, I want to win. And the systems just execute the perfect sequence of moves to make that happen. You become a spectator to your own actions.
That is the ultimate removal of friction. The friction of agency. That is terrifying. It's like we're optimizing the doing right out of existence.
It is the logical conclusion of this entire new stack. We want faster, smoother, more responsive. But eventually, you get so fast and so responsive that the human element becomes the bottleneck. And technology's job is to remove bottlenecks.
So we're the bottleneck. That is a humbling thought for a Tuesday.
It's a brave new world for sure.
Well, on that slightly existential note, I think we have unpacked this stack for today. From the parallel universes of GTA Bizia to the silent power of Diamond Lake, and finally to the brain chips that might just make us obsolete.
It's definitely a lot to chew on.
We want to thank the Tekken Night crew for the dispatch. And to you, the listener, I want you to think about that friction. How much are you willing to give up for a seamless experience? Are you ready to trade your mouse for a neural shunt?
Or are you going to keep your buttons and your latency just to prove you're still the one driving?
Keep your frame rates high, but keep your mind your own. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll see you in the future.